Boom.
Don't start with boom.
Boom. No, okay. No, I don't want to get into that. All right. Today is... Oh, am I echoing? That was weird. Okay. Today is November 3rd, 2021. Role of call moderator is me, Bree, and anyone else who's wanting to take this on, feel free. Recorder is Bree. And proposal tracker, Splottingham. Alex is the jack of all trades of somewhat technology. Ace is our critical thinker. Alan is our Mr. Sensibility. Okay, did I cover it? And Rochelle is our go-to everything. I don't normally have that written down. I'm just really wide awake. It's very odd for me. All right, announcements. The job board has been created in Gitbook and added to the community center. Just another place to put that in. Web seminar. Sorry?
So the term for proposal tracker kind of expired. So, okay. So Femi, he's got a full-time job, so he's much busier these days. I kind of just occasionally update it, but if you want to add that to the jobs board, if someone's interested in being a proposal tracker.
I will do that. Up for Bill. All right, on my agenda. Okay. All right. Team member representing today is David B. Members present right now, Bree, DJ Strikenova, Ace, Alan, and Rochelle. And Lahum, if he wants to, I know he's part of the DAO. Yeah, he can join. Rochelle will let you in. All right. And Floris is a name I don't know. So, Floris, if you're a DAO member, you're welcome to join us in the talking here. All right. Web Summit was considered a successful opportunity for promoting Effect Network. And thanks to the Big Three for the straightforward AMA about the hackathon. Okay, proposals. First up, Effect Network Hackathon continuation. Active, and the vote so far is yes. It looks like that will go through without any issue. I'll skip 81 and go to the next one. EFX PancakeSwap LP reward farm funding 4 out of 4 is active. Vote is yes. That also looks like it will go through without any problem. The other one, add worker's choice prize pool to the hackathon. This is a no vote currently, but it is really, really close. There's about a 10 vote weight spread between yes and no. And there's a significant amount of abstain. So I found that interesting. I myself right now have voted abstain on that only because I haven't decided. Because both sides... Both comments, I should say, Alan's and Alex's comments and reasoning and rationale both have a certain logic to them. So I have to decide where I fall on that. So, but it looks like I'm not the only one who's a bit torn on that one. And there's lots of definitive opinions on that one. Do we want to discuss this one for a bit?
I mean, we can. I'm not super for it, but I do think it would be good to just get the workers knowing that. Or participating in selecting projects, so they kind of see kind of the process that, you know, the DAO is trying to work on that we've set up here, where we kind of try to encourage and bring on developers onto the DAO, and then they can create tasks. They kind of, because maybe they don't, maybe they're still used to depending on BV for tasks. Like I was talking, like in some chat, like people are wondering why they're little tasks, and we want to make sure them know that it's not like we're abandoning, you know, taking tasks. Is just we're kind of like shifting, you know, to a new model. I remember Jesse called it more a horizontal model instead of vertical. So the vertical was depending on BV for tasks, and horizontal is kind of building out the SDK and bringing in new developers. And so I think just having a vote, like, which I think should be simple. I'm just making an assumption here that it'll be just like a task where they just select their top picks and the winners get a prize. And I think that'll just help them kind of just first know that what's going on, what is happening, if the project isn't being abandoned. And second, that, you know, they know that we see them kind of still as an important group, part of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. So I had a question, though. On these tasks, then they would perform the tasks for no EFX payout, but just the prize awardment?
Yeah, I would say it should be just no payout, though, because the task itself, it should be like voluntary. It's just an option for them to participate.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a question with regards to this. What happens if the workers do get to choose their best project? Could it be that we end up with one project winning all three prizes?
That would be a stellar project then, wouldn't it?
I don't think it's possible because I set up as first, second, and third, so it would tally up all the votes. What we could do is, I didn't write this out, but you could have them assign 3 points to first place. They can pick, right? They have a list of projects and they can pick. They can give 3 points to the who they want to be first place, 2 points who do they want to be second place, 1 point to who they want to be third place. Then you tally up all the sum of all the votes for each project, and then the top three can get a prize. And so in that way, there'll definitely be free prizes. Now, there could be, like, potentially a tie. And if that's the case, I said we could just split equally between, anyone who has... If they have equal amount of votes for a position, then you can just spread the prize equally between them all.
Yeah, that's okay. So long as the one doesn't get three prizes...
I guess there is one potential way, and that's only if there's one project competing, you know?
Well, let's hope that's not the case.
Potentially, if you have a tie in first place, though, second place would then have a greater allotment than the split on each project in first place.
No, both would be split. So if there's a tie between first and second, then there's a total of... It's 75,000 plus 50,000, so that 125,000 will be split between the both. So, yeah, I guess it's better for second place if... Well, I mean, they're tied, so what else can you do?
Have a tiebreaker. Put those two backed up for vote.
No, I think it's better just to split it because a tiebreaker would have to be, like, some other actor, like some person, or I don't know.
Yeah, let them swap, share is much better.
May I add to this?
Yeah.
I'm really against the distribution of a prize pool for the worker voting, but I'm really for a binding on using these one AFX, and I don't mean a single one, but the once you get, if you've been chosen by the workers, that you only can use them for transferring in the AFX network and not getting the value distributed out in a wallet. This would be nice and would get my attraction and would get my yes, which is abstain right now. First of all, do you get what I meant with that? I don't want a different prize pool to be distributed as a giveaway, but I want these values to be reserved in a different pool, or if getting accepted, to be used by the hackathon winners chosen by the workers. I would really like this idea.
Basically, you don't want them to dump it, right? You want them to use it.
Yes, exactly. So if a project is nice and the idea is nice, they can try it out. They have some EFX to spend on workers to do the jobs they want to get done, but not to just won a prize, get it on an exchange and yeah, left out the ones who voted for them at the end, you know?
I see. So they instead get, like, a subsidy in services worth 75,000 EFX for first prize, not necessarily, like, the dollar amount.
Exactly. They don't get a dollar amount. They just get, let's say, 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 EFX, and they can use it in the EFX network so that the workers at the end get the EFX. So their representation by voting for a project is really positive for their own business, because there is EFX spent on the network and every worker can get these EFX.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, but I don't know if we'll be able to build that out right. I mean, we could just say it in words, but like the way I'm thinking is if you could build like on top like some sort of service that holds it, and then they just have to like do the tasks for like this middleman intermediary, and then if they have, you know, the subsidized tasks, that's how they're paid for. They don't have to pay. There may be something extra that needs to be built, but I do think it's a good idea to do that.
Or maybe releasing the price, give them a voucher, something like this. A voucher for some EFX spent on the network.
Releasing the amount, the funds slowly over time instead of like handing them all of the EFX in one go might also be a solution to preventing the winners of the hackathon to dump all of their funds in one go.
Yeah, the proposals were now just as a number, and distribution isn't, so it's open-ended how it's done, I guess.
It is a good issue to think about, yeah, like of how we're gonna spend or give the EFX over then to the winners.
The thing about vouchers, though, it'll be kind of tricky because a voucher would just still be like, you know, a token, right? So there's nothing stopping people from listing a token to trade. It's just they won't be able to dump it on the main exchanges. But I guess it'll be still a lower, like, trade value if it's just a voucher.
Or maybe some kind of smart contract, a vesting contract that would then slowly release the funds to them.
About the distribution, because there's a few different ways that the prizes are awarded, because we also work along with the DevPost team for the prize part. So when I get a call on him about the DevPost progress, I'll mention the distribution stuff and see with that, because there can be some issues with it. There's one thing that I've been thinking about ever since I read the proposal about having the workers vote. And that is, I love the workforce we have, don't get me wrong. But I work very deep into the back end, and I see worker behavior with tasks and making accounts and whatnot. And I have some big concerns about how valid that vote would be. We have measures in place for people to not make duplicate accounts and whatnot, but there's ways to circumvent that. And if it's for a prize amount that can, no matter how long it takes, you know, turn into a dollar value, I really have some big concerns about mass accounts and creates being made just to complete like a no EFX task for the vote, you know? Like if we had the workers vote, we would have to probably create a task that's unpaid on the platform and the workers complete the task and they just pick, right?
Yeah, in the proposal I said that it would be ideal if we could check that they have minimum amount of tasks completed.
Yeah. That's
I don't know if that's something we can actually do right now, though.
But, yeah, I just have concerns with the workers deciding a prize value. Just from what I've seen and have dealt with the past couple years of the platform on a daily basis.
Could there be a minimum level? for the workers to participate? Like level 1 minimum or level 2 minimum or something?
You could.
That means they've been around and they've done some tasks. They're not just brand new.
But at the same time, like large amounts make your level go up. And there's people who are pretty high on the levels, or pretty good level. But that's from the beta tasks. And they haven't paid attention to anything, you know, in years. You know, that, yeah, I don't know. I'm very torn on this one.
If they've been around for a long time, doing tasks and everything else, if they're interested, they could always join the DAO.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You would think people who've been around a long time, like, know what's going on, but that's sadly not the case quite a bit, too.
I think as long as you have some tasks completed, you should be able to vote on this. And I don't think people will... I mean, we'll be able to notice if people are generating mass accounts, right? Because we'll see suddenly the workforce is, you know, jumping X amount of times, right? So if it's if it seems gamed, we can always, you know, just discontinue it as well.
Yeah, I also like the idea, and I'm wondering, I don't think it would be too difficult to set up a qualification in order for workers to participate with the voting.
Yeah. But as far as workers completing, like, those test tasks for the hackathon in the test environment, of course that'll be for no EFX in the test environment, but it's a big thing Jesse and I are figuring out, like, a bonus for the participation, because it takes time, you know? And, you know, they if they complete things well for the projects when they're testing out and using it, you know, then that's just all better for the network. So workers will get compensated in some way for helping out in the test environment.
So how do the workers qualify to go into that test environment to help out with the projects?
It's really easy. It's something we activate on the back end for the testnet.
Okay, so why couldn't the restriction for workers basically be you have to participate in the testing of those projects before you can have a say on them?
Yeah. That actually is a good idea.
So if they don't participate in helping out those projects, they don't need to be voting for them then. But if anybody could technically be working on the projects as a test group, then they've got experience with the projects, and then they actually have a valid input into whether they think it's a good project or not.
You've solved my dilemma.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sometimes my brain works, you know. Okay. Anyway,
so are you planning on making a contingent on doing tasks on the testnet?
Well, in that way, the vote's done through the testnet. And if anybody who wants to be part of the testnet qualifies for it, and it's a fairly simple, straightforward qualification if they want to participate in the testnet, then it's not much different than having an open vote. Now, as long as there's a clear opportunity for workers to join that testnet, and then if they're participating on the testnet, they're participating in those projects, then they, even more so than the DAO members, have a better idea of what those projects are about. So it makes sense to me that it's just the people participating in the testnet that would have the vote.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
And then they don't get paid EFX because they're not getting paid EFX on the testnet. Anyway, that makes sense to me. Okay. Does anyone else have anything more to say on this topic? Okay. Good discussion. All right, questions for the team? Let's see how you do with these, David. I'm not sure you can manage all these. And if anybody else has anything they want to add to these, feel free. All right, so. Well, I don't know how you can update us about Web Summit, but as a community as a whole, Rochelle, maybe you can put a bug in Jesse and Chris Lawrence's ears, but it would be really lovely to have a nice, as juicy as possible, I stress as possible, update about how it went in Web Summit, especially any leads they might be able to share or hint at safely without it backfiring. You know, but just a nice update about how it went. Now you might be able to answer this, David.
Yeah, it'll be possible probably once everyone's back from Lisbon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, don't let it slip. Inquiring minds want to know.
We won't.
All right. So the SDK, there's been a base version of that posted, right? Has a user-friendly version been finalized yet?
Yeah, so this week we did manage to get a more user-friendly version up and running. And where we have the basic functionalities integrated, and the only major other feature that we're missing is still the qualifications. That's still on its way. Jesse has been busy also at Lisbon, and he hasn't had time to work on the smart contract, so we haven't gotten around to implementing it. But it's basically finished, actually. So the only thing that's left right now is to update the documentation and test it with other developers in order to make sure that it's concise, that the structuring of like how they need to use it is logical, because we've been looking at it for so long that it's difficult for us to see it with fresh eyes. But it's there basically.
So is the testnet live now then?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. Like, it's still on Killin, basically. Right now, like, we're also working on the new Force front end still, like, to re-implement everything that in the new Force front end to use the newest version of the SDK. And then the SDK should be up and running, and everybody should be able to log in and create their campaigns, and also see it then in the new front end.
Sounds good. I am really looking forward to it, as many other people are. Yeah, there's a few developers hanging around in the community, not just Alex and Femi. So it would be nice to put an invite out for feedback. Rochelle, do you want to let Femi in? Please and thank you. Okay, I'm wondering if Femi has something to add to that, so I don't.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So, David, how is pricing done? Is there like a good Git quote option for the on the SDK? I'm not really sure how the pricing of the Or do you set your own prices? How does that work?
I'm sorry, what do you mean by pricing?
Like the price for tasks. Like, is it up to the developer, or is it like a common pricing for the tasks?
Oh, that's up to the developer or the project requester.
Okay.
They set how much they want each task to pay out. and then mm-hmm. they set how many like repetitions of a task they want. So, like, case in point, Neural Pepe just had tasks on, and they decided the price per task, and they wanted 5 workers for each task so they could, you know, get a consensus of answers and really not have to validate too much. So they put up thousands of tasks at 0.75 EFX each, and then times 5. Now you figure also, too, what's it, 5% gets added onto that for the use of the network.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, one task costs them 0.75 EFX plus 5%. So they just added EFX in their account, and then when they went to hit publish, as long as there was enough EFX for the tasks and that 5%, then it went live and went on there.
Okay. Rochelle, question.
Yes.
Is it 5% or 10%?
Is it 10%? It's that percentage. I'm thinking. I think I misspoke. It's 5 or 10. I don't know.
It should technically... 10.
10. Yeah, sorry. I misspoke.
So with the SDK completion, then that 10% fee, the network fee, is that fully automated now? Or is that still yet to come?
I'll have to check with Jesse on that. Or maybe Noman or David know if that part's been put in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like I was quickly checking through it, like right now, and indeed, like I don't see that is being defined as a parameter, like when creating the campaign. I thought it was there, but like I'll need to double check where that happens. Like that should be in there somewhere.
Okay, because that's something a lot of us are really excited for and waiting for.
Oh yeah, embedded fee. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Really excited about that. That's when the magic's going to be happening. That's when I said, oh, look, this is coming in. Oh, wait, let's get some requesters in here.
It'll be instant and hands-off, and no one has to track it.
And no one has to wait on anyone else for it to show up? Yeah, that's lovely.
Believe me, the team and I really want that to be in place.
Okay, so... Miriam has her hand up. I have no idea if she's a DAO member or not, but if she is, remember to join us.
No, but maybe after the call?
DAO is
only open for DAO right now.
Right. So when we do our little coffee hour, if she wants to hang around? Our coffee hour can be only 2 minutes, but still, it's what I call it. Okay.
One more comment. If you look at the SDK, the parameter, like the second parameter called quantity, like that's where you'll be able to define the price per task. It is a weird name, so like I do think we should update the name because quantity is a bit of a vague term. I hope that answers your question, Femi.
Yeah, it does actually.
We'll call it Cheddar.
Cheddar, that's not a bad idea. Bread. Different variations of avocado on toast. But right. are there any more questions about the SDK?
No, not for me. Anyone else? Oh, I think we can move on from that topic. Yeah, sorry. Some phone calls you just have to answer, so I apologize for that break. Okay. Is there a dashboard DAO membership filter being worked on? That's my next question. You know, so I can access DAO members by alphabet or by how long they've been a member or by something instead of scrolling through them all. Just to check on Femi's account. You know, like.
I think I suggested it to Nomad and also this one, what was the name of this guy in the dev channel. He was interested in doing some things on the side.
I'm just curious if it's been started on.
I don't know if it's been officially. Like, you can add on that.
Okay, next one.
On that subject, could they put the EFX about people actually holding within the DAO somewhere on the dashboard? Because that gives us some idea of where people are at, really. I mean, because people could have a small amount and be joined for a long time, or they could have a large amount of EFX, only joined sort of last week type of thing, and the stake age will be, or pound would be reasonable.
Right, so having EP broken up, visually, yeah. See the two components.
Yeah.
That can be misleading too.
Well, I'd find it useful, really.
Yeah, it can be done because I have like a request I use if I want to check like the DAO member has like actually staked and also has in his account. Just need a interface for that. So it can be done. My answer.
Well, I'm just thinking it's a bit misleading. I'm thinking of mine, right? Like, I pulled a bunch out to get some NFX, and the stake age drops significantly. So now it wouldn't look like I'd been in that long.
Because it's in, like, average stake age based on the time of each purchase.
Yeah, yeah. But if they're not seeing, I don't know, because I just went from, like, 19 stake age to 12 stake age.
Did you recently buy some of the token, right?
Well, I bought NFX. So I pulled out NFX. And then I staked a little bit more EFX, and then the stake age went down, but I didn't stake as much EFX.
Right, but that's expected, though. So at the time of each new stake, your new stake age, it should drop because it's based on its average.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. But if I was looking at, let's say, yours,
right.
And I was just going to speculate how long you've been in, how much EFX you have, right, based on the stake age, I might make a wrong conclusion without knowing the withdrawal and deposit history.
Well, that's more like a user error.
I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying it just feels like a snapshot rather than a big picture.
Well, that's all it can be. We can only just provide them information of the DAO members at the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Up to them to decide the big picture.
I have a question. Explain it to me like I'm 5. Why is knowing that helpful? Because I just don't understand.
Because you like to know what the people, the feeling of other people are. I mean, for our good sake, if DJ Strike It Over went from 537,000 down to 100,000, that might get me thinking. I mean, you follow people with big stake holdings. I mean, if people with big stake holdings in companies all of a sudden offload their stakeholding for some reason, then it makes people think, doesn't it? And that's the only reason for it, for my way of thinking, is just to see people's sentiment, really.
It could also be a useful tool to calculate someone's potential, like, maximum EP in a way. Because when we look at the DAO dashboard, we only see their EP at the moment. But they could have, you know, be generating new EP every day because they haven't, you know, used their maximum amount of NFX yet. So you could kind of calculate, like, project how much EP can someone have if you know they're what's staked.
Yeah, that's very true. And it also could tell you the maximum sort of, it could have done in the old way, the maximum number of people that are actually in the DAO that will get rewards, but as we've got to one NFX or 20 EFX, that's not the case, is it?
Maybe it could be useful in seeing if you're really paying attention to who's voting for what, especially if maybe you don't have that much vote weight yourself, but there's something really important that you really believe in and want that extra push on your side. You could maybe look at who's growing in vote weight and how they think based on their voting.
You just have to get the big seven on board.
Yeah.
Big seven on board and it all.
So it's for lobbying or playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I think for lobbying it could be useful.
Or playing devil's advocate for creating coup.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be useful that way.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, I see Vincent. Hi, Vincent. Okay, next thing. All right. I'm really not sure who to direct this to, so I'm just going to assume it's like another dashboard update. But the token map should have an update done to it on the dashboard token map. And in that, for the foundation tokens, I think it would be prudent to not just have the EFX tokens, but if they have any BTC or any USD funds, that also be represented on that token map. Not effect.ai, but the foundation tokens. So I don't know if you can address that, but I'm just putting that out there. If you can address it, go ahead, but I don't think you can. So those two things, I think, should be added to the token map.
You just want all the funds accounted for.
Yeah. Well, if I recall, I'm going by memory because I haven't looked terribly recently. If the foundation has BCT tokens, they're not being shown on the token map, and I'm pretty sure they have USD tokens or USD pool somewhere, and that's not being shown on the token map, and I think they should be. And there may be other tokens that should be on the token map.
Yeah, I totally agree, but I think Chris was a little bit reluctant to do that, wasn't he, for some reason?
Well, in the AMA a while ago, I got them to agree to it, but I think they backpedaled afterwards to not reveal the rest of the foundation's crypto holdings.
There must be some distinction between Effect.ai, the business, and the foundation. And frankly, they're a business. I don't really care. But the foundation tokens should all be represented in that token map. And if not, then frankly, I don't disagree with those who are upset. So they have to be there.
Oh, the token map is specifically for EFX, though, so...
Well, then they can create
that's what I think. We should kind of... I would like this information, but it seems like they don't really want to publicize it. But yeah, I would like to have a pie chart, as you said, of... Well, maybe not a pie chart, but or I guess it could be budgets of all the crypto holdings they have in reserve for the, because the foundation's purpose is to expand the Effect network. So
exactly. So like, I don't care about what Effect.ai is holding. It's a business. It's their problem. I don't like, once the foundation hands tokens over to the business, I don't think it's any of our business. But the foundation tokens itself should be in a pie chart, even if it's just holdings in BCC, holdings in USD, holdings in EOS, holdings in BSC, whatever, right? Like a just generalized pie chart effect token.
You're wanting the full accounting of all of the foundation's assets. Like the foundation's books.
I don't need details. Just a pie chart showing how much of the pie is in USD.
Well, I think in implementation, at least the crypto part, which could be like, you know, you can check a wallet, see its status.
I know they have the foundation tokens on the token map, but as far as the other foundation stuff, I think that needs to be sent like a request to the foundation.
How do we do that? Let's do it. How does that happen?
Foundation at effect.ai.
Okay.
Can't that be done through a proposal?
I don't know.
Well, remember the DAO can be out of scope in regards to foundation affairs. Usually, it's more just a suggestion, but we can still have a vote on it.
But I don't know if like that does.
Well, my opinion is they didn't really want like to do like NES accounting on it, so like my view is just the crypto side, because that stuff you just need to look up an address, right? So and that would be easier to automate than say like counting, you know, euros. But yeah, I don't know how. I mean, they're pretty busy right now, so they'll probably say that's the reason they're not going to work on it for now.
All the time that they don't work on it and they don't show these things and they hide them, it leads people to believe that they are actually trying to hide something. And anybody that actually is thinking of getting involved seriously with EFX and the DAO and investing will see that and possibly think twice.
So I personally don't know how much the foundation actually owns, but I do agree with Alex on this, in the sense that the foundation is a separate entity from the DAO, and that the DAO, the token map on the DAO, like should only concern itself like with the foundations of the DAO itself. But I can see indeed that it would. They're kind of inexorably linked with each other one way or another, right? So like, and that people are curious and interested to see, to have a look under the covers, to see how well the foundation is doing or not doing, in order to have an idea of like the waters within, how well the waters are, how calm the waters are.
Is it not the DAO funds are the foundation funds and vice versa?
Yes, technically. Jesse's already stated, it's already been made clear that at some point the foundation would be handed over to be managed by the DAO. So at some point the DAO is the foundation. The foundation will be the DAO at some point. Now, this could be 5 or 10 years away. I don't know. It could be 10 months away, but that's...
So I don't understand why there's
that hasn't been really explicitly written out, though.
The account. It's the keys to the account to handle the foundation funds.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to know how... I don't even care how much US dollars is in there. I just want a generalized... Like, imagine a pie chart where the only label says USD. on one pie, piece of the pie. And the other piece of the pie says, EOS. That's it. Like, that's all, or EFX. And another piece of the pie says BTC. That's it. I don't need numbers. I don't need to see under the cover. I just want to know which cover we're seeing. I just don't see that being so challenging. Like, if the foundation has USD that they can contribute to the prize pool for the hackathon, then obviously they have USD funds. I don't care how much they have. I just want a representation of the amount in relation to their other holdings. But I don't care.
Why don't you care how much they have?
Because I personally don't care how much it is. I just want to know what the representation is in comparison.
That money was the money that we all put together at the initial stage of inception.
Okay, so just for clarification, there's some differences of thinking here. So I, from my perspective, and I'm representing Bree here, not the community, but my perspective is I bought tokens like I bought a deck of cards. I made a purchase, and in return, I got tokens. That's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's it for me. I don't care the amount. I just want to know the distribution.
My personal conjecture is this. When the token sale happened, it was during a crack. Well, not a crack, but like a gradual descent of Neo, and that was what the original tokens were in.
It was a gradual descent. It was a smash.
Yeah, crack. It went like from 200 to like, you know, like $12 to $15, I think.
And we all
anyway. Lost. So, if this is my personal opinion, I want to underline this. But if they're very hesitant to reveal the holdings, I assume they may have lost, you know, the initial investment during the crypto, you know, bear market, and they're kind of wary of revealing that fact. And so they prefer just obscurity, but because I'm kind of the opinion that if it was much higher, if they like, you know,
it'd be like, happy.
If like, say, Chris actually did like invest in Bitcoin, some of the reserves, and like, you know, got way more than what the investors put in, I would assume that that would be public already. But that's my personal conjecture. I don't want anyone to think that anything otherwise. But so like, that's why I see them more probably trying to save face.
Yeah, but, and that's fine by me. So saying a percentage of how much out of 100% is in BTC or how much out of 100% is in US dollars doesn't give you the amount. It just tells you they have some, and this is in relation to the other holdings they have about how much it is, percentage-wise. And then they can still save face if that's the problem.
It's still unclear to me what's the added value of knowing, because like, even though like you just want to know, then like the ratio of like how much there is in BTC and USD, you can derive from that like how much it is at the end of the day, even though like that's not your intention. It still has it more to do to know that like the foundation is doing well enough that it is going to still survive in a year or 10 years time?
That would be the ideal, is knowing a foundation's reserves. I mean, that applies to any like foundation, really. Because you know they can last for the long term simply by looking at a number.
Well, isn't that kind of ultimately what people are worried about? Like,
yeah, well, Chris is
so that they know there's longevity.
Chris has told us that this project will be able to run for a number of years, and he's also told us that they invested in Bitcoin. What more can I say?
Well, I believe him, but I don't know. I don't see the problem. I don't see the harm in putting some ratios up.
Yeah, but like without this information, it does leave room for people to talk negatively about the situation, which is perfectly understandable, isn't it?
Yes. And the fact that it still keeps coming up and new members coming in, like new guys, never seen them before. They just got in with the last YouTube video promotion. Even they're asking about the transparency of the funds. And yeah.
Imagine if.
Yeah.
Carry on. Sorry. Imagine if those people, whales for want of a better word, they'll come in as a whale, they'll listen to what's being said, and then they'll do their own research, and they'll come to the conclusion of, well, yes, these figures aren't transparent, and then they'll make their own mind up, won't they?
Mm-hmm. This
keeps coming up because everyone keeps bringing up stuck on it. And the thing is,
Michelle, this is new people.
Does not have any fiduciary duties to the DAO. So this is really not a DAO issue, and I'm sorry I'm getting a little.
It is most certainly a DAO issue. Come on.
It has to be a DAO
issue. It's 100% a DAO issue.
Look, we're access for the hackathon. The hackathon is using USD in partial for their prize money. How is it not connected in no way at all?
It's not a BV issue either. Like, it's kind of like a double dipping issue. First, they want to separate, the actions of the company and the foundation. And now, when we want to talk about the foundation, it's not, related. I mean, sorry, Rochelle, I don't mean to. Kind of get annoyed here, but discussing this will be definitely related to DAO terms because we're not really talking about like accounting and payments and all that. Just the status of reserves.
So I have another question about pricing. Sorry, but I feel like those conversations will always be some type of a conflict of interest because they are the same people. Like they can say entity this, entity that, but it's the same foundation there is on the BV. So even if they were acting in completely, all honesty, all transparency, just as humans, it'll be hard for them to separate what they can and cannot share. Like, they're the same members. They have their own internal conflicts of interest. So I think at the moment, all we got to do is sort of deal with the information that we have now and...
Oh, yeah, that's kind of my view, too. I feel like they're not going to reveal it because they're not. And so the best we can do is kind of work on this SDK thing, hackathon, make this more platform, really usable and stuff. But, yeah, that is the thing, that people will criticize, going forward, and we can't really stop it unless they, publicize it.
All right. So my pricing question, David Rochelle, anybody?
I wish I could tell you more, but I really don't know the internals of the foundation or the company, or how much their holdings are or their relation to each other.
Right. But back to the, I just have one more question about pricing. When you set the price of your tasks and the repetitions, is it a way to sort of peg it at a fiat currency, or is it always done in EFX?
It's always done in EFX.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I wish there was an oracle, that would automatically keep it at a pegged thing and automatically adjust it, but not... happening right now. That would be a very nice feature. I think we can incorporate in the future. It's just that it's not there right now anywhere. So we always have to keep watch and adjust.
Yeah, we had a talk about oracles before, where Jesse had pretty good reasoning or rationale for not having one right now. I don't remember it, though.
It was a security issue.
Mm. Yep. Okay. Oh, and I'm just going to go back to the token map for the foundation. Even if it's not on the DAO dashboard updated, that maybe the official website should have it. Okay, I'm done on that topic for today. Unless someone else wants to keep going with it. Okay, so Telegram, mods and admin. We had a good discussion about it last week. Rochelle, do you know if any, have you contacted anyone? Do you have any thoughts on or looked into creating mods, like volunteer mods?
Yes, I've been thinking about it, but honestly, I haven't put anything formally together yet. It's on my to-do list. I had a lot of big client stuff and then Web Summit support to do at the same time.
Okay.
But I am getting to it because it's very important, and we need them for Telegram and Discord, so yes.
Okay.
In process, just the very, very, very beginning.
Awesome. Good. In progress works for me. Okay. All right. Liquidity. Current thoughts about the farm that's going right now. Are there things to improve? Should we be looking at another farm, considering it already, or put that on the agenda for a month or so from now? So thoughts on the current farm. Anyway,
if anything, like, it would be nice to have more people join the farm. But I think it's going well up until now, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna do another farm again next time around.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of my thinking, that we should keep with it.
Yeah. For now, I'd say continuing the as it is, the funding, and then. Maybe over time it'll attract more people once they realize it's a consistent thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had a question later on, but it kind of applies to the farm. Would it be worthwhile doing a little Twitter campaign, actually paying for a few ads to run about the farm?
Where would you put the ads?
Well, they pop up in between on your feed. One from crypto.com that always pops up on mine.
You mean on Twitter?
Yeah. Just a thought that...
I don't know. I think they banned ads or some sort of crypto type things.
Maybe.
I also have a story like that in my mind that crypto ads got banned on Facebook, Google, and I'm not sure about Twitter. I assumed they were banned on Twitter as well. That's why I'm a bit surprised that you're seeing ads by crypto.com.
Oh, constantly.
We may want to kind of try doing ads on I don't know how effective they'll be. It's unknown to me, but there are special websites that track the prices of Binance Smart Chain tokens.
Yeah, or CoinGecko, don't they have little banners?
Yeah, the CoinGecko does have banners. I think we should not necessarily do on Twitter because,
it doesn't have to be Twitter. I just
because I think, yeah, because I think how do we get this? This is a very niche market, right? Of people who are willing to provide liquidity, right? So, mm-hmm. And we also don't want to make EFX seem like a scam either, right? Because we don't want to necessarily associate with or make that perception. So it's a tricky thing.
Well, maybe CoinGecko would be a better platform or something like that.
Yeah, maybe CoinGecko, I think, would be good.
Okay, so maybe I'll work on a proposal. I'll look into seeing how much that might be, find out how to make an ad on CoinGecko. Put a proposal out for it. All right. And anyone, let me know if you've got another place that you think would be better. I don't want to put out a whole bunch of ads everywhere. We want a place that's going to have an impact. Least amount of ads given with the most amount of impact, right? So anyone has ideas about where to put some ads out, let me know in the next week or so. Okay. Hackathon. DevPost account active. All right. Any problems getting that open for business?
There's a little... It's close to being done. The delay is with the DevPost team.
Okay.
So it's frustrating, but we're super close to getting them to approve it. They're just taking forever. So.
Okay. Well, it'll get done, hopefully on time. All right. Probably a team question who went to Web Summit. But just wondering if there's been any clear, definitive teams just chomping at the bit to get in to the hackathon that you know that can be shared.
I think we'll touch up on that on an update. I have a big meeting with Jesse tomorrow all about hackathon and Web Summit stuff, so I'll get that, and then I'll coordinate with our marketing team to put out some information about that. Because I know everyone's wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably. So, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody else have anything they want to say about hackathon before we move on? No? Okay. And this was just me being curious about the HighGuard. When was the last HighGuard meeting, and has there been any recent discussions of concern that we could know about? And I guess, Alan, you could maybe answer that.
I know at the beginning of the cycle, when it should have started, it was still processing. I wonder, was there like a no vote yet? And so it kind of hanged? That's the first time I saw that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I wonder if Alan slipped off for a minute. Oh, well. It was just something I was curious about. All right. So open discussion. What do I have here? All right. So just an update on the notes for these meetings. I looked into using EffectForce. And for just shy of an hour, it was going to cost $116. And our meetings often run from an hour to an hour and a half. So I think that four times a week, at least for me, I can't justify that cost. And so it's a reasonable price if you're doing like a 15-minute video, but an hour is too much. So what I'm trying to do and work on and improve on, and a little bit of a learning curve for me, but instead of posting summary notes on Gitbook, I'm posting the agenda. And in the agenda, I'm embedding a YouTube video with automated English closed captions of the recordings that Rochelle's doing. And I'm currently now trying to figure out the best way to edit the transcript so it doesn't read really crazy. Okay, I'll read your note in a minute, Mark. I just want to finish this thought, which I'm losing. Anyway, so I've copied and pasted into a Word document and uploaded that to embed it into the agenda on Gitbook. Just a copy of the English transcription. So as I get time, I'm going to go into those and change them so they're not so choppy to read, so it's much more fluid to read than the way the auto transcriptions is. So we've got that reading visual as well as the audio embedded into the GitBook file of the agenda. So it should be a complete package where you don't have to be bouncing around from Discord back into GitBook to get your two different things. So people who are having trouble accessing the audio in Discord will be able to access it in GitBook. And it's an invitation or a link only. It's so unlisted. It's not a public searchable video. Okay, so that's the update for me. I'm not charging for any of this because I don't want to charge for work that isn't complete. So until I get it done and I'm happy with, you guys get a break from me putting an invoice in. Yay for you guys. Okay.
With that YouTube video, when you're in your creator studio,
mm-hmm.
can you go to one of those videos that you put up and download the subtitles?
Yeah, you know, that's what I...
File? And then can you send me that text file?
I've been trying to. My laptop, I think it's dying on me. So today I was going to try it on the desk Mac and see if I actually could download it on there. I can click the button and it says it's downloading, but it doesn't do anything.
I see.
So I've just been in the back end copying the text file onto a Word document. So I can send that to you.
Yeah, as long as it has like the timings on there, you know, those numbers
for like
time. Yeah, I need the thing that has all of that. If you can get me one of those, I think I'm going to try something out that might help.
Okay. I'll do what I can. So far, I haven't been able to figure it out how to download it with the timing. But I'll figure it out if it can be done. Okay?
Cool.
Just might take me a little bit. So that's the plan there. Now, Alex, this is for you, this question. If you know. Anyway, I'd like people to leave comments in GitBook. And I don't see how we can do that. So you and I can leave comments to each other, but I don't think public people can leave comments.
You mean comments like on the page or something?
Yeah, I get like directly. Or be able to link it in something that comments can be left directly. Because the idea is I post a job or you post a job and then somebody says, oh, I can do this job. And they can leave a comment saying, I'm working on this. So the other people know right away that they're not, the job is already being worked on. But they can't take the job off. All they could do is maybe leave a comment to say they're working on it.
Well, there is a way, but I don't know if it's like the right way to doing things. Because you can synchronize any GitBook space with a GitHub, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then after that, I think we could, like, people could make an issue on the respective GitBook repository that it's synced with. Of course, I imagine you would want like some sort of like discuss type integration, but I don't know if that could be done.
Yeah, I don't miss. Yeah, I guess a discussion type thing, but really it's just a one-off comment, just so that we're not getting three people working on the same task. Job, more like jobs. Or we need like a Fiverr type of situation for.
Well, I guess for now, like maybe just create a channel in Discord and make an explicit statement that if you're going to start a job, you should post it in Discord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that'll help prevent overlap. Because I don't really. Because GitBook is really intended to be for like a documentation type thing, not like a. So they kind of limit what you can do. I don't think we can create like a common feature. Well, maybe.
I don't know. Okay, well, we can.
Oh, I think we can. It says
y'all can create a channel in the DAO Discord for us. Job. Call it job board. Or something. I've been calling it job board.
There are like comments that I need to look into it, but maybe is my answer.
Okay, maybe. Okay, could you look into it in your copious amount of free time? Please?
I'm looking into it right now.
Oh, you're good. Okay. Yeah, actually, you know what? We've covered everything on my agenda. So while you're looking that up, I'm going to see what Mark left me. Okay. So Mark says they haven't had a High Guard meeting in a long time. And the team will summon them when they need them to vote on something. So there hasn't been any issues, I take it. Thanks, Mark. All right. So the agenda's been covered. Cheers. Yes. Cheers back to you, Mark. So we can stop recording, I guess, call the meeting to a close, and we can move into what I like to call coffee hour, which is more casual discussion. And if anybody wants to drop off, they're free to drop off. If anybody non-DAO wants to hop in and talk, I don't see a problem with that now. So if Rochelle could stop the recording, we're good. Thank you.